Good morning. Good Erev Shabbos. Last week, we discussed the position of the Rambam concerning Yemos HaMashiach and Olam Haba. We focused specifically about the extent to which the Rambam focuses exclusively on intellectual aspects concerning Olam Haba, and the extent of the disparity between the Rambam and the other positions concerning whether there's going to be a guf in Olam Haba. I'd like to begin. Yes. Yes.
So we discussed, and we showed from different places in the Rambam, the Rambam does seem to acknowledge that mitzvos and non-intellectual things do have a role.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of if the Olam Haba is an intellectual experience, so how does that play out for you?
Okay. So your question is presuming the following, which is that Olam Haba is completely naturalistic in the sense that whatever chachma I've gained in this world, so will continue on, and therefore it should be by definition impossible were it not to be based entirely on intellectual achievements, right? That's the presumption of your question. That's true. But what we were trying to show is that it's true, if you had that makor on its own, you might come to that conclusion. But when you consider all the other things the Rambam says, it's clear that it's not simply purely a result of intellectual achievements. But Be'ezus Hashem, we're going to come back to that question again today from a different perspective. So hopefully I'll try to answer your question more fully today. Yeah.
Could it be that somehow that the Maisa Mitzvah results in some sort of intellectual...
Yes, something like that is certainly possible.
Did we answer the question last week of Tinokos Ugule in light of the Rambam's opinion, or are we just mentioning it?
We mentioned the question. It's not clear what the Rambam would say to that, but once you acknowledge the possibility that it's not simply intellectual achievements, then tinokos are less of a problem. And presumably the Rambam would understand, I mean, depending on how you stand, kol yisrael yeshlam chelak olam haba, but if you see that as the stama de milsa, so then you could understand why that could conceivably even apply to children, even though, again, as far as I know, the Rambam doesn't say that explicitly. Okay, yeah.
Does the Rambam include emotions, considering into intellectual realms?
Well, I don't know.
Meaning, does someone have a feeling of Abba?
So it's hard to know. Like the Rambam says, we don't understand any of this anyway. But Ava and intellectual achievements are very closely tied, right? When the Rambam writes about how do you come to Ava, it's through the intellect. Whether it's in Hilchos Yisodei Torah, where he talks about Kishem Mizbonein in the Bria, or whether it's the end of Hilchos Tshuva, where he talks about it through the study of Chachma and Torah and the like. So the two are linked, and the answer is presumably yes. Okay, but I think that today's discussion will have a chance to elaborate upon some of this. There has been a significant critique against the Rambam concerning this point, which is reflected in many of the questions that you've just asked even before we started, which is, does the Rambam focus too much on the intellect? Now, the critique is not necessarily against the Rambam as much as against philosophy. So, for example, if you look in Sefer Tiferes Yisrael, the Maharal, Perek Tes, which is in your source sheets, the Maharal critiques the philosophers. Achar shenizbar lecha dvarim elu, nivayer od hashela rishona, ech yikne ha'adam hatzlacha al yidei maaseh ha'torah. How does a person achieve perfection through mitzvos, many of which, most of which, involve some type of physical action. Asher holchu b'derech chachmei ha-mechkar, v'hema filosofim, asher zacharnu l'mala, yitnu shem v'tiferes al ha-seichel. So, it's the philosophers who are very bothered by this, because the philosophers give great esteem to the intellect. They put intellectual achievements upon a pedestal, and val yedea muskalos yikne adam nitzchios, and they claim that it's through intellectual achievements that a person achieves eternity. V'yasu ha-ma'asim ha-yisharim v'atovim kimo tchuna v'sulam, and thus they make physical actions like a ladder, asher yagia behen el hamuskalos, which are only significant insofar as they can lead a person to the intellectual achievements. Umizeh hasulam naflu, and from this ladder they fell, is a little bit of a joke, right? He's saying that they see mitzvos only as a ladder to achieve intellectual achievements, but they've fallen from their own ladder. Now, we should note that while the Maharal disagrees with the Rambam on many occasions and critiques the Rambam, there is no lack of veneration for the Rambam. And there's no lack of respect for the Mor Nevuchim. Just like the Ramban, we'll see a little later, though he is a fierce critic of many of the Rambam's theories, is very much respectful and really venerates him. So the same thing holds true for Maharal. Maharal refers to the Rambam in Ber HaGolah as the great rabbi who filled the, like the sea, with wisdom and all his natural theological and scholastic disciplines. And he very much is Marich, the Rambam, even as he disagrees. So the Maharal now continues, and he says, in contrast to the philosophical approach, v'anachnu talmidei Moshe Rabbeinu alav ha-shalom, kamnu v'nisodad al yidei Torah Hashem u'mitzvosav. V'ikar asher heviyam lezeh. What caused the philosophers to make this mistake? Shayarachuk mehem sheyia ma'aseh gashmi hatzlachas hanefsha nivdal. They thought it was strange that that a physical action should lead to spiritual perfection. Ulekach azvu es ma'aseh ha'adam v'nishanu al ha'seichel. Therefore, the philosophers rejected the ma'aseh ha'adam, and they focused, they relied upon the seichel. V'afim ramu al yedei hamuskalos hu davek b'seichel ha'poel ad she'seichel ha'adam b'seichel ha'poel hu echad elu heim divrei havai ki lefi divreihem lo tia rak le'echad o l'shnayim b'dor. One of the critiques that the Maharal asks is that the philosophical position leads to an incredible sense of elitism, meaning to say that according to their approach, that only philosophical speculation can lead to nitzchias, so then only one or two people in a generation could achieve that level of perfection. V'chi b'shvil elu nivra, ha'olam nivra? Was it for these one or two people in each generation that the world was created? This is a little bit reminiscent of the Rambam's discussion in the Hakdama to Perashat Mishnayos, where he might be saying something like that, or what he writes in the Bava Kamma. Anyhow, that's inconceivable, says the Maharal. V'akol b'shvil shehaya shafel sheyi hatzlach alokis al yidei maaseh adam v'hem lo amdu b'sod Hashem ki maaseh adam hem l'malam min ha-teva u'kemo sheheshev Rabbi Akiva be'omek chachmaso eze maaseh yafei tawar. Okay, we're not going to read the Maharal now, Ayin Shem, where he explains his whole theory why it is that a person should be able to acquire nitzchias through Ma'is B'nei Adam. But you see here an example of this critique. Another place where you see this critique is in the famous Igeres HaKodesh, which is Miyuchas to the Ramban. Nobody's quite sure who wrote it precisely. And there he talks about the Inyan HaChibor, namely Tashmish Hamita, da ki chibur ze inyan kadosh v'naki k'shiyah hadavar kefi ma sherayu v'zman harayu v'kavana nechona. Ve'al yachshov adam ki b'chibur harau yesh genai v'chior chas v'shalom. Don't think that in Tashmish Hamita there's something disgraceful or the like. Shachibur harawi nikra yediyah. The fact that the Torah refers to it as yediyah, right, at least when it's in the appropriate situation, indicates that it's something that's very holy and very, very positive. Skipping to the next paragraph, Ve'ena davar kasher chashav harav hamorezal b'mor nevuchim be'yoso mishabech laristo ama she'amar ki chush hamishush hu cherpa lanu chalila ena davar kamo she'amar hayevani lefi she'da'ato hayevani yesh shemetz minus she'eno morgash ilu haya ma'amin she'ha'ola mechudash be'kavana lo haya omer kach ze hayevani hablial. In other words, the Rambam made a mistake by following Aristotle's position that sees Tashmish Hamita and the like as something disgraceful, and the root of Aristotle's position is from his rejection of the rejection of Briyas HaOlam, his acceptance of the eternity of matter, and therefore, in a sense, it reflects minus, meaning to say, it comes from the idea that the spiritual and the physical are totally separate, that the universe always existed and is not a reflection of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Bria. It was not created by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, exists almost chas v'shalom, independent of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore it lacks Kedusha, and therefore someone who's striving for Kedusha has to separate themselves from the physical and connect only to the spiritual, because it's through that that a person can achieve Kedusha. And that is the reason, says the Ramban, for the makor of this seeing things that are physical as inherently disgraceful. But the reality, he says, is that no, the chomer and the guf also came from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore it's through them that we could achieve Kedusha as well. Aval kol bali haTorah ma'aminim ma'aminim shehashem bara es hakol kefi ma shegazor chachmasu v'lo bara davar sheyia genai o kior shem yomar sheachibor hu davar shel genai hine klei hamishgal hem klei gnos. How could you say that? HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the klei hamishgal, so you're going to say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created something that's inherently disgusting? No. It's something that could be used for Kedusha and Tara, and it could be used also, Rachman al-Itzlan, for Tumah and Isser. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us Bechira, but to say that it's inherently problematic is to ascribe something inappropriate to the Ribono Shel Olam. There's a great vart that I heard from Rav Stav relating to this matter. The Maral, the Rambam in Mor Nevuchim in the third Chelak gives Tameh HaMitzvos, and he gives reasons for all the mitzvos, even for things chukim like Shatnez and Paraduma and the like. But when it comes to the mitzvah of Lechem HaPanim, the Rambam says, I don't know. He says, Vatzorach l'mizbech haktoris v'mizbech ha'ola klei mevuah, right? He explains all the kelim in the mikdash, why they're needed and what their purpose is. Aval ha'shulchan v'hayos alav lechem ha'lechem tamid lo eda bosiba. I don't know the reason for the shulchan and the lechem ha'panim. V'eni odel eza davar ayaches oso ad hayom. And until today, I still have not figured it out. It's a great mystery. And this is really remarkable. Why in the world, you know, if you could figure out a reason for everything, why, what's so troubling about the Lechem HaPanim and the Shulchan? So the Yesod is as follows. The Ibn Ezra writes in the Zemer that we sing on Shabbos, Ki Yesh Mirah Shabbos, he writes, Rasham Bedas Hakel, Chok El Seganav, it was engraved in God's laws, a chok for his priest, right? So he's referring to Lechem HaPanim is a chok. Bo la'aroch lechem panim lefanav, to prepare the showbread before him. Al kein lehis anos bo al pinav onav. Asur levad miyom kippur avoni. Therefore, to fast on Shabbos is asur, according to those that are wise, except for Yom Kippur. Says the Ibn Ezra, fascinating thing. How do we know that it's asur to fast on Shabbos? It's based on this idea, this chok, of lechem apanim. So what's going on here? So the answer, perhaps, Rostav suggested, is as follows. The lechem apanim is an exception to a general rule with respect to karbanos. Generally, the more something is an avodas hapnim, meaning to say the more its avoda is inside the actual Beis HaMikdash, in the Heichal, so then the less it is associated with achila. Just for example, a chatas hapnimi is not eaten at all, right? Anything that's called like the Par Helam Davar Shel Tzibur, the Par Kohen Mashiach, or the Par Vasir of Yom HaKippurim, all the chatos whose dam is brought lefnim, so that meat cannot be eaten. And that's a reflection of the fact that the higher level of Kedusha, so the Rambam understood, because of the higher Kedusha, it becomes impossible for it to be eaten, which is a physical activity. Only the chatos that are done exclusively b'chutz could be eaten. And this is true for all of the avodos in the Beis HaMikdash, with the exception of the lechem apanim. The lechem apanim is exactly the opposite. It's entirely avodas hapnim, right? It's in the shulchan, which is inside the Beis HaMikdash, and yet the only avodas gavoha, the only thing that is nektar, is the bazichin, and the rest of it is entirely eaten. So it goes against the entire principle of how could something so kadosh? And that's why the Rambam says this is a mystery. I don't understand it, right? It's not, we'll see when we talk about Tamei HaMitzvos, a chok be'etzem does not just mean something whose reasons you don't understand. A chok is something that is internally contradictory. There's a kasha upon it. Like the Ramban explains, that's why the Sir Lazazel and even Paraduma, which are bachutz, are considered chukim. So this is a chok. This is something that Ram says I don't understand, because there's this inherent problem with the mitzvah. So the Ibn Ezra answers the kasha in the Zemer. He says that from lechem apanim we see that there is the possibility of achieving an incredible level of kedusha through physical actions. Meaning to say, we shouldn't see physical activities as base or somehow lacking kedusha, and only focus on those things that are intellectual. The chiddush of Shabbos, of lechem apanim, is that even through mundane physical activities such as eating, a person could achieve incredible levels of kedusha, and that's why this avoda, which was kulo avodas hapnim, was eaten, and that's why tainus on Shabbos is aser, because we achieve on Shabbos kedusha through physical actions such as eating. That's the idea of the neshama yaseira. I think I once saw in the Sifsei Chaim. So there's a Rashi in Beitza that says, what's the idea of a neshama yaseira? That a person has an extra soul such that they're able to eat more on Shabbos. So it's a shtickle pella. What does it mean you could eat? You know, that's what the neshama yaseira is. So the yesod is, no, that usually during the rest of the week there's a stira between that which is physical and physical pleasures and physical eating and that which is spiritual. The neshama yesera, in other words, the soul, as it were, is revolted by the physical pleasures. The neshama yesera on Shabbos means that a person could eat in a spiritual way, in a way that doesn't contradict their soul. It's not a stira anymore. And that's why the neshama yesera reflects itself in the ability to eat and not be disgusted. It's usually there's this revulsion. It's not that a person can't eat a lot during the week. A person could stuff themselves and eat a ton. But that's a stira to their neshama. There is a spiritual revulsion if a person eats excessively and indulges in physical pleasures. But on Shabbos, because of the neshama yesera, that stira doesn't exist. the Rambam Agav does not understand Neshama Yisera that way. He says it's a little, you know, it's a nice idea, but there's no Neshama Yisera on Shabbos as is generally understood. So what all this points to is a notion that and this of course goes back to the idea that why it is that in Olam Haba there's going to be a physical body, because Be'etzim there isn't a stira. And in the Bria, Kodem, the Chet of Adam HaRishon, there wasn't a stira. That's why, like we said, if had Adam and Chava not sinned with Eitz Hadas Tov HaRa, they could have eaten from the Eitz HaChaim and had Nitzchias immediately. There wouldn't have been a need for the destruction, both of the individual through death and the world, before Tchias HaMesim and alike. And this is also the idea of Nisyonos. For example, the Ramban writes that what is the idea of a Nisayon? V'alokim Nisas Avram. So the answer is that a Nisayon is Lahotzi min HaKoach el HaPoel, because Lios lo schar maaseh tov lo schar lev tov bilvad. In other words, for a person to get schar, they actually have to do the physical action. It's not enough to just have the idea, want to, right? If you focus entirely on Muskalo, so you could say, okay, you shouldn't actually have to physically do the act, because on the contrary, all the physical actions are just to lead you to a state where you would be willing to do it. But if you take the other approach, so then we could understand this as well. Yes? Yes. Yeah. Absolutely, in the Rav, or the Rambam, it's even, you know, Psar Shalom. Absolutely. And I said, what we're saying now is not just Lafuke the Rambam, but rather to see how it's developed. And again, this is an idea that we could spend a lot of time discussing, but I think we should move on. Let's go to another very important question on the Rambam, which very much relates to this. And the question is the Rambam's position on kfira, and especially people that don't believe in Ikari Amuna based upon faulty reasoning. In other words, they come to false conclusions, Klapei HaKadosh Baruch Hu or other Amunos Videos, but based on mistakes. Perhaps. The Rambam writes in the Hakdama to Perek HaChelek, after listing the Yud Gimel Ikari Amuna, V'kasher yu kayamim la'adam kol yisodos halalu ve'amunaso bahem amitis, harei hu nichnas bechlal Yisrael. When a person believes in these 13 things, so then he is part of the Jewish people, v'chol v'la'avo, the lachmol alav, v'chol ma shetziva Hashem, Osanu ze al ze min haava v'ha'achva v'afilu asa ma sheyachol lios min haaveros machmas tavaso visgabros yitzro hara harei hunenash lefi godel merio v'yesh lo chelak. So if this person is an avarian and they do many averos, they're punished for their sins, but they have a chelak in Olam Haba, v'hum yiposhe Yisrael. V'kasher yifakfek adam yisod me'elu ha'yisodos, hareze yatza menachlal. But if you deny or even are mefakfek in these 13 principles, so then you are yotze menachlal. V'chafer v'ikr, v'nikra min, v'apikores, v'kotitz b'netios, v'chova l'sanoso, u'lahashmido, v'alav, hu omer, halo misanech Hashem esna v'chulei. So says the Rambam that if a person rejects the Yud Gimel Ikari Amuna, they have no chelek in Olam Haba, they're not part of Klal Yisrael, there's a mitzvah to hate them and a mitzvah to destroy them. The simple understanding is that there are no exceptions, meaning to say it doesn't matter why a person came to these false conclusions. If they lack the Amuna, then they're not part of Klal Yisrael. And thus, for example, the Ravid famously attacks the Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva, Per Gimel, Halacha Zayin. He writes, Shiesh, the Rambam had written, that someone who understands that a Kadosh Baruch Hu is a physical body is a min. And the Ravid writes, Amar Avram, v'lama kara l'ze min? V'kama gdolim v'tovim imenu halchu b'zu ha-machshava l'fi ma shera'u b'mikra'os v'yoser mi ma shera'u b'divrei ha-agados ha-mishab shos es-adeos. What led them to this conclusion that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a body? It's not their fault. They read the Psukim and they understood the Psukim literally. The Psukim in many places seem to imply that God is some type of physical body. And even more problematic, they read the Agados, Hamashabshos, Eshadeos. And this is what led them to their false conclusions. And therefore, they should not be considered a min because it's an honest mistake. It's not their fault. Certainly they're wrong, the Ravid says, but it's a mistake, and a mistake does not make you a min. And not only that, but he says there are many great people who have made this mistake. My initial intention was to discuss this today, and but they asked me to give a shiur during Yeshiva Spena Semesterim on the topic of Yud Gimel Ikarei Emuna. And since I was also told that we are probably not going to have shiur next week, at least according to the Reed's calendar as I initially planned, so Be'ezras Hashem, for those interested, we will give. I'm going to give a shiur on this topic of the Machlokas, Rambam, and Ravid, not in in a week from Sunday. So we'll have a chance to discuss this very important question, but suffice it to say now that depending on how you understand the answer to this question, so this goes back to your issue earlier, if you understand that the Rambam's position is that Olam Haba is simply the result of the natural acquisition of intellectual abilities, so then it makes a lot of sense why a person who lacks those beliefs and lacks that knowledge and has an incorrect perception of God could not possibly get Olam Haba. And that is indeed the view that some have taken to explain this position in the Rambam. Be'ezras Hashem will argue at the time in the Shir that no, this is not necessarily the correct reading of the Rambam, and that it's conceivable that even the Rambam agrees that somebody who denies one of the Ikarei Emuna based off of faulty reasoning is not considered a min or an apikores. Proof for that, among other things, could be found in his famous position concerning Tinok Shenishba. The Rambam writes that a Tinok Shenishba Levein Ha'umos is excluded from this. Now, a Tinok Shenishba is in denial of one of the Yud Gimel Ikarei Emuna, and yet the halacha, for example, concerning a Tinok Shenishba, is that we're makariv him, and we certainly don't say about him Moridin v'lo Malin. And yet, the Rambam that we just read in Perashat Mishnayos says anyone who denies the Yud Gimel Ikarei Emuna has the status of a min and Moridin v'lo Malin. So clearly, then, when the Rambam writes this, he's discussing only someone who is kofer b'mezid and not someone who's kofer b'ones. And even the Rambam can agree to some extent that there's a concept of ones concerning Ikarei Emuna. Now, would he say that only lagabi the halacha moedim v'lo malin? Would he also say concerning Olam Haba and the like? So Be'ezras Hashem, we will have a chance to discuss that next Sunday, instead of today. Yes.
So what would you say to a conservative reform, someone like Moses Mendelssohn, Roskill, like who were honest, who were like during the period of the Enlightenment, could say that they weren't the fire for them, they hated it, but they had something to do with intellectual ideas, that even they came to a different conclusion, even though they were completely wrong.
Okay. I don't want to comment about particular people in specifically. I'm not sure if Mendelssohn denied any of the Ikarei Emuna, but the Rambam himself is mechalek when it comes to tzedukim between the first generations and later generations, and it's mistaber that chiluk applies to other things as well. That was certainly the position of the Chazon Ish in his understanding of the Rambam. Of course, the Pashto says it wasn't the understanding of Reb Chaim and the idea of Nebuch and Apikaris, Achat and Apikaris. But the question is, how would Reb Chaim understand the concept of Tinuk Shenishba? And it's not so clear what Reb Chaim said. There's a pilpul in the Achronim what Reb Chaim really meant. Reb Chanan has a very different understanding of Reb Chaim than others in that question. So Be'ezus Hashem, we will have a chance to talk about that in that shiur. So that way we can go on in our discussions today, since this is the last shiur of the semester. Do you have a question?
Yeah, I was just going to ask you one
time. Okay, so we'll talk about that. Be'ezus Hashem. Did you have a question from before?
Kindness chalom.
Ah, so that's an issue of tzar. But okay, so one brief note. Just mention it again. I don't want to be marich because we are we still have a lot to do. Is the nature of punishment for the Rambam in terms of Olam Haba? This was another area where he was critiqued. Specifically, when you look at the Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva, take for example Perek Ches Halacha Aleph, it sounds like the only punishment that exists is simply ceasing to exist, for the soul to demise along with the body, right? He writes that the ultimate reward is nitzchias of the neshama, which is olam haba, and v'chol mi she'eno zocha l'chaim elu, hu hames she'eno chai li'olam, ela nichras berisho v'avad kebehema. V'zeo kares haksuva betorah she'nemar yikares tikares hanefesh ahi, mepnei ha'shmu alamdu yikares ba'olam hazeh tikares li'olam haba, kilomar, she'osa hanefesh apirsha min aguf, ba'olam hazeh, eina zocha l'chai olam haba, elagam min ha'olam haba nichrasa. So when you read this, certainly at first, the implication is that the ultimate punishment, and perhaps even the only punishment, is that when a person dies, their soul dies. So someone who gets olam haba, someone whose soul continues to exist after they die, that is Olam Haba. As the Rambam said, there's many, many levels of Olam Haba. And Kares is the alternative. Kares is simply that when your physical body dies, your soul ceases to exist. And thus, there were those that claimed that the Rambam denies the concept of Gehenim. Now, the problem with this claim is that the Rambam in Perush HaMishnayos in several places does discuss Gehenim. He writes, Avala Gehenim, this is in the Hakdama to Perek HaChelek, right before the Yud Gimel Ikarim, Aval Gehenim hu kinui letzar shiyasig es harishayim v'lo nizbar betam letir oso hatzar. Gehenim is a reference to the tzar that Rishayim experience, and it's not really explained. There are different possibilities. Either Hashemesh Mekareves Elehem, or the Chom Uzar Yotzer Begufam, or the like. But he refers to it. So those who say that the Rambam denied Gehenim say, well, he doesn't really believe in that, he's just presenting options. But his position himself was that he didn't accept it. Another place where he seems to be implied there's Gehenim is when he distinguishes between Misa Bidei Shamayim and Kares, he writes, which implies to some degree that their soul continues to exist and they're punished even after death. Though you could be docha that raya. In Yad HaChazaka, though, he doesn't really discuss it. There is one place, but the correct Gersos and the Rambam don't have it. There's another place where he refers to it in passing, But those who, again, say that he doesn't hold of it are doche, and they say, no, he doesn't mean that. He was just giving it, using it as an analogy, but he doesn't actually believe it exists. However, it is my position that if you read the Rambam in Mishneh Torah carefully, in Hilchos Teshuvah, it's clear that he does hold that there's such a thing as punishment lachar misa, for example. And this occurs in many places, but the Rambam in Perek Gimel Halacha Hay writes, Habeinunim im haya bechlal mechta avono shalahem shaloi niach tefillin me'olam danin oso kefi cheto v'yesh lo chelak li'olam haba v'chein kol rishayim shavano sam erubin danin osam kefi chat ehem v'yesh lo chelak li'olam haba. So what does he say? He says that when they're rishayim that are judged, this is talking about after death, right? And they have certain types of averos, so they are punished according to their sins, and then they have chelak li'olam haba, meaning to say, what does it mean you're punished after your death, and then, but you eventually have a chelak in olam haba? That's Gehenim. So he doesn't use the words. The people who claimed that the Rambam doesn't believe in Gehenim are superficially reading the Rambam. They say, well, he doesn't use the word, so it means he doesn't hold of it. But that's not true. The Rambam describes punishment la'achar misa. He says, for example, in Hilchos Teshuvah Perek Vav, when he discusses the hardening of Paro's heart. We read that earlier. So he writes that sometimes a person sins and they're punished in this world. Sometimes they're punished after death, and sometimes they're punished in both. Right? The Rambam frequently refers to punishment after death, and even among people who still have an olam haba, in other words, even among people whose soul is not cut off, they don't experience kares. So therefore, it seems to me that the Rambam does hold of such a thing. He doesn't describe it like he says elsewhere, because these are things that we can't understand anyway, and there isn't so much of a purpose to elaborate. This point was more or less already made by the Ramban. The Ramban, in his famous letter in which he defends the Rambam from those who critiqued him, it's known as the Long Letter. It's a very beautiful letter, and it's in your source books. He writes very poetically. The whole letter is in rhyme. And one of the things he writes is this critique against the Rambam, Ki shamanu shatem omrim, ki hu kekofer medina shel gehenim, mipnei shamar hanekama she'ein lamala mimena, hi shetikares hanefesh v'toved. And then the Ramban says, no, this isn't the correct reading of the Rambam. And he says, well, it's true that... while it's true that the Rambam doesn't talk about Gehenim, that doesn't mean he doesn't believe in Gehenim. He writes that perhaps the Rambam does make certain mistakes in this area, but that doesn't make him a kofer, and the like. Another interesting issue, again, we'll just deal with some issues b'kitzur now. Each of these things could be elaborated upon. In terms of Trias HaMesim, there are a number of Rishonim who argue that there are two trios, namely that there's a Trias HaMesim that takes place B'Yamos HaMashiach, really something which is very similar to the Rambam's understanding of Trias HaMesim, and then there's the ultimate Tria that takes place in the era that that brings in Olam Haba. And one of the proofs for this that the Ritva in Tainis, Lamed Amud Beis, brings for this idea is the Gemara there that says that Kol Ha'ose Simchus Yerushalayim V'Gilu Ba Kol Ha'ave Asiso Itam Misos Kol Ha'misavlim Aleha Mikan Amru Kol Ha'misavel Al Yerushalayim Zocha V'Rao B'Simchasa V'She'enu Misavel Al Yerushalayim Eino Rao B'Simchasa. So, what does this mean? Do we mean to say that someone who's not Misavel Al Yerushalayim, it does not experience Trias HaMesim? Why should that be? Not being Misavel Yerushalayim is certainly inappropriate, but it's not a reason for losing Olam Haba. And therefore, certainly if you presume the Ramban's understanding of Olam Haba, what do we mean when we say that anyone who mourns over Jerusalem will experience the simcha of Yerushalayim, and those who don't will not experience that. He says, what we see from here, as well as elsewhere, is that there's going to be two trios. There's going to be a trios ha-meisim for tzaddikim, b'yamos ha-mashiach, which will allow them to experience yamos ha-mashiach. And it's about that which we say, call ha-mis'avel al Yerushalayim zoch v'ra b'simcha. So it's only call ha-mis'avel al Yerushalayim. It's not everyone. And therefore, the tzaddikim will be resurrected b'yamos ha-mashiach to enjoy and experience yamos ha-mashiach. And then there'll be a second Trias HaMesim, La'achar, the Yom HaGadol V'Hanora, where we say, Kol Yisrael Yeshlam Chelak L'Olam Haba, and that will usher in the period of Olam Haba. Another important discussion, which we're not going to have, but I'll just give you a couple of marmakomos on this, is the topic of Bechira B'Yamos HaMashiach. This is a very difficult idea to understand. The Gemara, according to one opinion in Sukkah, says the Yetzer Hara is going to be Nehrag before Yamos HaMashiach. That's the Mispeid Gadol, the Kaved, which is described by the prophet. And the Ramban discusses this idea in Bereishis Parakeh as well as Devarim Parak Lamed. And the Ramban seems to equate the Bechira B'Yamos HaMashiach to the nature of Bechira that Adam and Chava had Kodem the Achilas Eitz Hadas Tovara. Ki Mizman HaBriya Haisa Rishus B'Yad HaAdam Lasos Kirtzonot Tzadik O Rasha B'Chozman HaTorah Kein Kedei Shiyeh Lahem Zuchus B'Bechira B'Tov V'Onesh B'Rtzosam B'Ra. Aval Yamos HaMashiach Tiyah HaBechira B'Tov Lahem Teva. In other words, while we will theoretically still have free choice, but choosing the correct option will be natural. Lo Yisavel Lahem Halev L'Masha'in O'Ra'ui V'Lo Yachpot Spoklal. The person will not desire that which is harmful to them spiritually. Doing that which is right will become natural as opposed to something which is unnatural or which is sometimes a struggle. Now, of course, the question, and that's how he describes in Perek Beis of Bereishis, the Matziv in Gan Eden, right? He writes over there that Avihine Beis Hazos, Lo Haya Bein Adam V'Ishto HaMishkal Ataiva, Aval Be'ez HaHolada Yischabru V'Yolidu. In other words, Tashmish HaMita was something that was not associated in any way with Taiva. Rather, at the time that it was appropriate, they would be together and she would give birth. V'lachein Hayu HaIvarim Kulam Be'inehem Kipanim, that even the what we call private parts were like the face, the hayadayim and the hands, v'lo yisboshashu bahem, v'ine acharei achlom and ha'etz ha'isa biyado ha'bechira. In other words, only then he had the bechira. Uvirtzono lehara o lehetiv bein lo bein lacherim. V'zu mida alokis mitzad achad, v'ra lo adam biyos lo ba yetzer v'taven. Now this, of course, leads everyone to ask the question, how could they sin in a world without Bechira. So, perhaps maybe later on in the year, we could spend a shiur or two on this topic, understanding the Eitz Hadas Tovara, the Mahalik of the Rambam and the Ramban, in terms of understanding that. But suffice it to say, the basic yisod of the Ramban is not that they didn't have Bechira, but that it was natural. What Chazal say, that the satan was mibachutz as opposed to mibifnim and the like. And again, perhaps we could discuss this another time. Another important discussion, again, that were just marmakom, in terms of the Gemara in Sanhedrin says, Amrav Ketina, Shis alfe shane havu alma v'chad charuv, Shenemar v'nizgad v'Hashem levado bayom hahu. So the world will exist for 6,000 years and it will be destroyed for 1,000 years. And among other things, it's based on this Gemara that the Ravid rejects the Rambam's position. Amar Avram nira kimak chashen ha'olam chozer letohu vavohu. V'akadosh baruch hu mechadesh olamo. V'amru shisa alfei shanin have alma v'chad charov. V'nimtza shehu olam chadash. So the Ravid rejects the Rambam because he sees that he perceives the Rambam is rejecting this. Now, what does it mean? So the basic idea is what we've been discussing until now, which is that there has to, because of the chait of Adam HaRishon, there has to be a kilkel before there could be the tchiyah, and therefore, just like the human body has to die and decompose, as it were, before it could be recreated in a way that there isn't this stira between the ruchnius and the gashmius, so too the world has to be destroyed before it's recreated. That's the basic idea. And the question is, what would the Rambam do with this Gemara? So the Rambam in the Mor Nevuchim, section 2, chapter 29, addresses this issue. And he writes that it's true the Gemara says this, but this is a das yachid. And moreover, it shouldn't be taken literally. There's a long tshuva in the Rashba against this. It's in your source books. It's Chelek Aleph Siman Tes. It's a beautiful tshuva. He has a lot of very important ideas. He talks about the number 7. Really a beautiful drush. Anyhow, the Rashba says, how could you say this is a das yachid when you don't find a dissenting opinion? Kamrav katina shisa alfe shanin haveyam l'chad chariv uparish ata be'ezeh shetirtza hin charoa l'das ha'chacham hazeh sha'olam al minhago noeg shisa alfe v'chad chariv she'eno noeg al oso haminag ela b'minag garua v'nifsad mimenu mitzad yeshus ha'olam lagufani ki lo yichanu ha'chorban ela l'davar mitpased v'nigra lo l'davar shetit ale madrega so ve'eno nuroen b'talmud cholik alav. So if you don't have a bar plugta, you can't say that it's a machlokas. So the Rambam responds, obviously not directly, that there are many times where you see in the Mor Nevuchim that the Rambam will say a gemara about which there doesn't seem to be a dispute is a dachid, and he will try to show from evidence in other places that there are cholkim. A classical example is the Rambam's position legabe shiluach hakein. The Rambam writes that the purpose of the mitzvah shiluach hakein is because of tzar bali chayim. So the Ramban asks, but the Gemara says, ha'omer kansi po yagiru racham nacham mishaskin osav. So the Rambam says, no, that's a das yachid. Where's the cholkim? It's a stam mishnah. So he says no, because that Mishnah holds, follows the position that we find elsewhere, that a person should not try to understand the reasons for mitzvos, and enam ella their chukim shechakakti lacha, but we find elsewhere in Chazal and other makoros that it is indeed appropriate to look for tamei mitzvos, and therefore it's okay to go ahead and give this reason. Yes, yeah, so the problem is he paskins Meshaskin Oso in the Mishnah Torah. So that's an issue. The Tosis Yantif has a whole shtickle to try to answer up for that. His basic mahalich is that the objection is saying it in Shmona Esrei, it's not that it's not true, and he has a whole yeshiva for the Rambam. But that's something that we find in many places in the Rambam. So the Rambam, though, explains why he finds this notion that the destruction of the world is so objectionable. He writes that the notion towards which we are driving has already been made clear, namely the passing of the way of the world, a change of the state in which it is, or things changing its nature, and with that the permanence of this change, are not affixed in any prophetic text. Moreover, you don't find in Tanakh this idea, or in any statement of the sages either, I, the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah and Sanhedrin. No, that is contradicted by a pasuk, The pasuk says that ein chadash tachas hashemesh, and therefore it's a das yachid because it goes against the pasuk. And the Rambam though explains philosophically why he finds this view so objectionable, and that is that permanent change implies a deficiency, and if there is a deficiency in the world, so then how could HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who is perfect in Shalem, have created a world with a deficiency? And if you say that it's not a deficiency, so then why should it change? And he even basically offers a philosophical argument to this. It's similar to his understanding as to why Torah will not change, which is of course one of the Yud Gimel Ikar Yemuna, though certainly not the same type of idea exactly. But we certainly also understand why the Rambam would have no need for the idea of the destruction of the world in his conception, namely that Olam Haba is a totally spiritual existence and that Yemos HaMashiach is a this-worldly natural experience. Now this also relates to the Rambam's position concerning whether there will be miracles Yemos HaMashiach. The Rambam, as we saw last week, strongly endorses the position that Ein Bein Yemos HaZeh LeYemos HaMashiach Ala Shibud Malchios Bilvad, the position of Shmuel and Sanhedrin Tzadi Aleph Amud Beis. And the Rivet about that critiques him as well. Again, here too, there is a Ramban, among other places, in Vayikra Chavav. He discusses the two opinions in Chazal, which discuss the dispute as to what does it mean, Vishpati Chayara Min Haaretz. Does it mean that the animals won't attack anymore, or the like? And the Ramban there has a very interesting idea. The Ramban writes, Avhu nachon ki tiyah haaretz, ki eretz Yisrael be'ez kiyum ha-mitzvos kasher haya ha'olam mitchilaso kodem chet'o shel Adam harishon ein chaya v'remes me'mis Adam. A fascinating idea. In other words, the Ramban allows for both possibilities to exist. We could say that there won't be a change in Teva and still say that wild animals won't attack. Why is that? The idea is very simple. Because if the world is restored to the level of Gan Eden and Adam HaRishon Kodem Acheid, well, in the original world, their wild animals would not attack humans. In other words, that is indeed a restoration to the Teva. That's a restoration to going back to what's natural. The state of affairs which exists at present is, in a certain sense, a kilkel. It's what's unnatural. It is what is the exception, not the rule.
The
Rambam?
I thought the Rambam argued on the Rambam.
In terms of, there's two issues. One is the destruction of the world, and one is whether nature will change B'Yemos Mashiach. Now those points are related. The Rambam says the world won't be destroyed, and there won't be change B'Yemos Mashiach, and that's because both of those imply a deficiency on the part of God for having created something that's somehow incomplete. On both of those points, let's say the Rivet argues, based on Chazal, that there will be changes in nature, and the world will be destroyed.
Right, but I'm saying just to, I guess now the first point that you mentioned in the Rashba, that the world is not, that nature isn't going to change. According to the Rambam, nature won't change according to the Rashba.
The first point we're according to the Rashba is, will the world be destroyed?
Okay.
Chad Charev.
The second point, that's what
I don't know if the Rambam would agree, but that's how the Ramban is Mekayim both possibilities. Now this Gemara is also a very interesting Makor in terms of the discussion of how long, when will Mashiach come, right? Shis al feshana olam kayim. when you look at the Makoros, and again, if I don't think we have time to go through the Makoros, but there are many, many. What becomes clear when you study the Makoros is there are many ways in which Mashiach could come. There's no single way, and perhaps no single time, like we say, Beita Achishena. The Gemara in Sanhedrin Daf Tari Ches Amid Aleph shows that there are various possibilities to how Mashiach could come, right? On the one hand, we have this idea that there is a Ketz by which no time, which it must come. Perhaps it could come earlier. Ein Ben David Ba Ad Shiachala Kol Neshamo Shebeguf, etc., etc. So I don't want to focus on that now. But it does raise a very interesting question, which is Chishuv HaKeitz. We find many, many, many Makoros, among other things based on Psukim and Daniel, who try to calculate when Yemos HaMashiach is going to come. If you look, for example, in the Ramban on Bereishis Perek Beis, the one that we were referring to earlier. So he quotes the Gemara in Sanhedrin, V'hu ha'elef ha'shishi kibitzchilaso yimshelu bo chayos heim ha'malchios asher lo yadu Hashem v'acharei asiriso kishiur ha'netzachama yavo ha'goel shenemar bo v'chiso kashemesh negdi. The Ramban over there, Ayin Sham, shows how the days of creation, the 6 days of creation, correspond to the 6,000 world years that the world will exist. And therefore, just like at the beginning of the sixth day, the animals were created, and then man was created. So this corresponds to the coming of Mashiach and the like. And v'nireh mishinoi hayamim misheretz Hamayim the Oaf Lachayas Haaretz Kibitrilas Haelef Hashishi Tishadesh Malchus Uma Sholetes Veemasani Vetkifa Yesera. So at the beginning of the sixth millennium, then there will be his Gabrus over the evil forces. Almis Karevis Ela Emis Yosem and Rishonos, but also there'll be come closer to the truth, and this will eventually bring about the Geula. That's just one example that's found. There are many which are even more specific. The Rambam in the Geres Teman writes about how terrible it is to be mechashe vesakets. Tchilas ma sheyesh alech ladash shakets It is impossible for us to know. These things are mysterious. They are going to be hidden until the time actually comes. And in fact, the Rambam shows from Parshas HaShavua, right? Vikesh Yaakov legalos hasakeitz, we're going to read this week. But he wasn't allowed to, even Yaakov Avinu. And he compares it to Yetzias Mitzrayim. Just like in Yetzias Mitzrayim, nobody could have calculated the time until it actually came. On the contrary, they would have thought that it was going to be 400 years, right? And yet it was 210, and 400 from the birth of Yitzchak, and 430 from the Bris Ben Besarim and the like. So just like over there, it's extremely vague, extremely unclear, and only when it actually happens will we understand the nature of the cheshbon. But beforehand, it could not have been understood, and we find the same idea in the Galus Bavel and the like. So too, when it comes to the Geula Hasida, he writes in Mishneh Torah, therefore it's Aser L'chashev Esakeitz, and in this letter he elaborates, he talks about how the Psukim in Daniel talk about people falling for false messiahs based off of miscalculations concerning the Keitz, and he writes, though, when is it going to come? Avala Esa hi kvar hisbara medivre Daniel v'Yeshayahu mishar devre Rabosenu she biaso tia kishetit kaf yad Edom v'arev ukshetit pashet malchusam ba'olam kemo ayom azeh. So we even nowadays the Rambam writes that the conditions exist for the coming of Mashiach, because the coming of the Mashiach will be preceded by the period of time where the Edom and Yishmael will control the entire world, right? Among other things, this is alluded to by the prophecy of Daniel. Daniel's interpretation of Nebuchadnezzar's dream in the second chapter of Daniel, where Nebuchadnezzar sees the giant statue, and the bottom of the statue are the feet, which are mixed with iron and clay. And again, there are a number of different mefarshim in terms of understanding that, but let's say the way the Abar Benel understands, the iron and the clay reflect the koach of Yishmael and the koach of Edom, and that position will be the state which will precede the coming of the Mashiach. And after the Rambam goes on and on for pages about how terrible it is to be Machashe v'Saketz, it's almost like he was Nispata and he does it himself. Aval Amita Sa'es Aburya Eina Modas Aval Yesh Etzlenu Kabbalah Gedola V'Niflas Kibalti Osam Me'avi Shekibel Me'aviv U'Me'avi Aviv V'Hu Kibel Hadavar V'Chein Hadavar Ad Tchilas Hagalos Shel Yushalayim K'mo Shenemar in Avadia V'Galos Hechel Hazel L'Vnei Yisrael Asher Kinanim Ad Tzarfas V'Galos Yerushalayim Asher B'Sfarad Yarshu Es Arve HaNegev, etc., etc. And so, again, even it's a fascinating idea. And there have been many. The Gra has his Chishev HaKetz, the Baal HaTanya is his, and so on and so forth. In that letter, it's tell you two other haros, because we're out of time, but two other fascinating haros from that letter from the Geras Teiman. Number one is he talks about what the Mashiach is going to be like, who he's going to be like as a person. And he brings Mamari Chazal. Derech Agav, when the Gemara says that he's going to be Asher, so he says it means Asher Bedato. And then he says, this false Messiah that you have in Teiman, so how do we know he's false? Because he's an idiot. And the Mashiach is going to be a very, very wise man. And he goes further. He says, "V'achas arayu shehu am haaretz." How do I know he's an am haaretz? "Shetziva lefazer adam kol mimono." He told everybody to violate the halacha, to give away all their money. "V'shiyas nadvu laniyam," and to give their money to charity. "V'chol hashomim lo hem tipshim." So anyone who would listen is a fool. "V'hu chote shose hefecha Torah." "Ha'ol ve'in rari l'torah senu laso staka mikol mimono ela miktsaso." The halacha is clear that you're only supposed to give a portion of your income to charity, not your entire income. So this person who's telling everybody to give away all their charity is clearly not the Mashiach, because he's telling everyone to violate the halacha. That's another interesting Derech Agav point. When he discusses the Mashiach, he quotes a pasuk from the famous Perek in Yeshayahu. He says, "V'amar Yeshayahu kemochein kishayireh Mibli sheyodeya lo aveim umishbacha v'yalkio neklafana v'shoresh." Right, this is a pasuk from Yeshayahu Nun Gimel. This is the chapter known sometimes as the suffering servant. Why is it so interesting that he refers to, he assumes that this pasuk is talking about the Mashiach? Because this was one of the great polemics of the Middle Ages. In the Middle Ages, the Christians went ahead and tried to find Christological references in Tanakh. Again, Parshas Shavua, one of the most famous ones is from this week's Parsha, Ad Ki Avo Shilo V'lo Yikas Amim. Chazal understand Ad Ki Avo Shilo means Mashiach, and they interpret that according to that which they mean. And you see how this was on the minds of the Rishonim. If you look at all the Rishonim on that Pasuk, Rashbam, Ibn Ezra, Ramban, Drash Saran, and the like on this week's Parsha, they all talk about that issue, what it means. But that's an easy one to answer. The prophecy of the suffering servant is one that Ibn Ezra writes about. It. He says if they have one strong kasha, it's from there. But of course, Chmana Litzlan is not really a kasha if you understand it. And one of the typical in ways that the Rishonim are docha that the rayos from that parak is they say, oh, the parak's not talking about Yemosa Mashiach, it's talking about Klal Yisrael, the Yemosa exile. They understand it's a collective interpretation, and they bring several proofs for that. But anyway, you see here the Rambam assumed, perhaps the Rambam was not in a milieu where he had to be concerned with Christian polemicists, that that parak is indeed talking about Yemosa Mashiach, which is the view taken in Chazal. So just an interesting derech agav ha'ara. I'll just close. Again, there's so much more to talk about, but I think that we really have to we go on to the next topic, since this is our last shiur, but we'll close with a inspirational idea. The in Parshas Miketz, the pasuk says, "Vayishlach Paro, vayikra el es Yosef, vayaritzuhu min habor," that Paro sent to Yosef, and they vayaritu, they rushed him out, they rushed him from the pit. So what is it why is it necessary to say that they rushed him from the pit? What was the big rush? What was the big hurry? So the Sforno writes on that pasuk, Kederach kol shuas Hashem shenaseis kimo rega ki amro ki krova yeshua si lavo. When the geula comes, the Gula is going to come in an instant. Like we say, Ki grova Yeshua si lavo. It's going to be something that's going to come totally out of the blue. It's going to be a shock. It's a revolutionary process. It's not an evolutionary process. But when the time comes, Vayaritzu min habor. He doesn't quote the saying, Yeshua Hashem Karef Ayin, which doesn't actually have a makor in Chazal. But the point is that you can make all the chashbonos you want. When the time comes, it's going to come, and it's going to come quickly, and it's going to come in a way that we don't expect, but there's not going to be a moment's delay. At the proper time, which we daven is very, very soon, it will come, and it will come quickly, and it will come certainly, and Be'ezras Hashem, that should be soon. Have a wonderful day. Thank you again very much for participating. For those who are leaving the shir, Hatzlacha, and Be'ezras Hashem, we'll pick up after the break.